And I think when you boil it down, it's just about caring about other people as opposed to capitalism, which is caring about money. So.
This is Jim Colby from Vox Urbana, and you are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acra.
Hi, everybody. This is Jeff, host of Snack Point Charlie.
And I'm Alana, host of There There.
Wave Farms WGXC needs your financial support. In these extraordinary and unprecedented times, we know there are many worthy organizations in need. We hope that you consider Wave Farm among them.
If you value WGXC and want to keep it a part of your daily life, we ask that you make a tax-deductible contribution to keep local and adventurous content freely available on the Upper Hudson Valley radio dial.
Please visit WGXC.org. That's WGXC.org. Click donate and become a monthly sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation.
Thank you so much for keeping independent voices and sounds on your radio dial.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
90.7 FM.
Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
Hello, WGXC. Welcome to Tech Talk.
You're on live with Bill and Ralph.
Experts on everything that can go wrong with technology. We are welcome back. We are here to answer your questions. 518-697-7400. 518-622-2598. Oh, welcome back, Bill Collier.
I am so happy to be here, and I'm also happy. Don't know if you heard, there was word about 5G phones, you Apple people spending all of your life savings. Motorola One has come out with a 5G phone for less than $500. It's probably going to beat the living snot out of the iPhone. So
can you say that on broadcast, Bill?
Beat the living snot out of iPhone?
Oh, my gosh. I can't even imagine the FCC regulations you probably just violated.
Probably not.
Oh, well, let's hope
not. I think you're just feeling a little salty because you're very defensive about the Apple products.
Not at all. I'm feeling sultry because my best girl is named Laura, and they just named a Category 4 hurricane after her. And then she subsided down to a tropical storm. And she has just reached us here as a raindrops keep falling on my head. So if I'm a little out of sorts, blame the National Hurricane Center.
We've been doing that for years.
I know. And by the way, I went and I looked up. They have all these complicated rules about naming hurricanes. Apparently, it all went back to World War II. When the, probably Navy guys like you used to name the storm centers after their wives and girlfriends, although preferably not both at the same time. And then eventually it got regularized at the National Hurricane Center. And until 1978, they had a list of women's names that they named hurricanes after. And then they decided it was unfairly discriminatory to us XY chromosome bearing creatures called men. So they've been going back and forth now between male names and female names. And they have four lists that they rotate. And there is no Ralph on those lists. And I don't know who to write to. I feel very, very marginalized that there never has been and never will be a Hurricane Ralph.
I think that for some of us, there's always been a Hurricane Ralph.
Yes, but that's been truthful, not metaphorical. So, Bill, you're the tech wizard here. Who do I write to at the National Hurricane Center to make a non-negotiable demand that they start naming hurricanes after moi?
You know, that's not a tech issue per se. But I don't know if you ever heard of this thing called email. You could probably send them an email. Just go to their website at the contact page.
Email? What's that?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Well, listeners in Accra, Hudson, Catskill, and the rest of the most beautiful river valley in the world, here we are at 518-697-7400, and it looks like we have our first call from Rachel from Phoenix. Rachel from Phoenix, this is
Good
Ralph.
Afternoon, Rachel.
And that's Bill. It's not, oh yeah, it's afternoon, it's evening here, but afternoon there. Hello, Rachel from Phoenix.
Welcome to
the airwaves.
Hey, thanks for having me on. And, you know, I have to point out, not to, like, rain water on your parade, but, you know, if you do end up getting a storm named after you, what if it's just a little piddly storm? You know, the irony is you'd probably then be upset that it wasn't, like, a big storm.
Yes, that's so true, but they wouldn't dare name a piddly storm after me. I'm a Cat 5 and up.
I don't know.
I wonder whether there are Hurricane Rachels on the
Tropical Storm Rachel was in 1990 and it was a bit of a dud, and I think this was a little projection, but go ahead, Rachel.
Oh, what do you know? So Rachel, well, yes, Tropical Storm Rachel.
They can always try again and name another one after me. And you know what? They named one after my mom recently, so I'll go with that one. But I do have a question for you.
Rachel from Phoenix, Tropical Storm Rachel, what is your question?
Well, I think everybody can identify with this problem, and you guys seem like you might, you know, have an answer. What do you do when you are bombarded by text messages, emails, Facebook messages, Instagram? Now that I'm on Instagram, I'm getting Instagram messages nonstop, constantly, and I just received a third email in a row from somebody demanding why I hadn't gotten back to him yet. And he said, I saw you just posted an article on Town Hall today, so I know you've been doing things. And my favorite one is people who see that you've posted something on social media, which I do when I'm on long conference calls, you know, I'll just, you know, brain dead, put something on social media. And they'll be like, I see you're on social media, but you haven't responded back to me. And, you know, honestly, when I get up in the morning, the first thing I want to do is maybe read the news, and then I might post, you know, the news on social media. I don't want to get back to you about your problem that is not urgent and can probably wait a couple of hours. So how do you guys prioritize and deal with all this stuff? And one more thing, you know, Facebook Messenger really needs to have an automatic default reply that you can send to people. You know, I'll get back to you when I can. This is a poor way of communicating with me, but they don't.
Yes. Yes, Bill.
Ralph,
take it away, Bill.
I got something to say.
This
is actually a pet peeve of mine. Did you ever watch The Waltons, Rachel? Are you old enough to have watched The Waltons way back in the day?
I'm only in my 20s. Right? I don't know what that is.
Okay, so The Waltons was a TV show that was set in the 1930s up in West Virginia. And they finally got a telephone installed in the house.
And every time the telephone rang, they ran to answer it like they had to drop everything and answer the call. And you can see Grandma just getting madder and madder and madder every time. And then finally, he stands between them on the phone and says, "You're not answering that right now. You're not answering that." And they said, but they're calling. Somebody's calling." And she says, "That phone wasn't put there for them. It was put there for us." That stuck with me even through social media. My Messenger account, my email account, my Facebook, everything, it's there for me. And I get to communicate how and when I like. My solution, if I ever run across anybody that says, "Oh, I saw you were on Facebook," I'll be like, "Oh, I'll solve that. Yeah, block." I just block them. I don't care. Even if it's my friend or whatever. Look, I'm still your friend. But obviously you can't handle seeing my social media and deciding that you want to control my life. So you really have to control your time. It belongs to you. And if you're a really busy person that's getting inundated from every direction, it will take away your productivity. As for Messenger, for the most part, I've turned notifications off for all Messenger, email. I check it when I want to check it. And if I see it's somebody that's, you know, whatever, that I don't have time for, I might send a note and say, "Hey, I'll check in with you tomorrow about this." Or I might not at all, because, again, it's there for me. I am not under any obligation to use that tool unless I want to use the tool. And if anybody I know is going to get sideways about it, well, I guess they're just going to have to get sideways.
And that is...
And I hope you're... And I just have to say, I hope you're right, because right now I just use my mom as an excuse. I just say, you know, she just got rushed into the hospital. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to get back to you. But as a good Christian, you know, these white lies are starting to make me feel guilty.
Okay, well,
you... I just say I don't want to talk, and I don't want to deal with it, and my schedule is my own. Sorry if you don't like it. I'm just pretty blunt like that.
And I recommend an even better approach. Passive aggression. Ignore them. Just don't respond. Eventually, they will without getting the reinforcement of hearing from you, they will stop bugging you, and they will go bug somebody who will give them the pleasure of a response. And so I just think you're being far too conscientious and far too considerate. Toxically considerate, Rachel from Phoenix. And if people are whatever medium people are contacting you, first of all, Bill is absolutely right. Turn off all notifications. You don't want to get pinged every time somebody sends you a text. It's a terrible interruption. Turn off all notifications. Look at whatever comes in. Respond to the ones that have some kind of appeal to you. They're either going to make you money or add to your collection of devoted boyfriends or good friends, and just ignore the rest. Don't respond. Don't tell them that you're busy, that your mom's been rushed to the hospital. Don't tell them that you're too busy. Don't tell them anything. Just, this is why God himself invented the delete button. Don't be afraid to use it.
Okay, so you guys have any order of, like, prioritization when you do this stuff? And it sounds like sometimes you just ignore them for a day, and sometimes you say, "Okay, I'll get back to you tomorrow," so you at least give them that. Are there people that you just don't ever respond to?
Right. If you don't fancy them, if they're not bringing value to your life, just ignore them. You do not owe them a response. And not only ignore them, delete them, and don't give it another thought. Think of it, even if you know these people, even if you've met them, even if you're social media friends, Rachel, this is spam. You're getting spammed. And I assume you know what spam is. Bill, do you know what spam is? Rachel, would you tell Bill what spam is?
You know, usually I thought it was like somebody sends you junk email trying to get you to buy something, but it sounds like you guys, just like Black Lives Matter, expanded the definition of racism. You guys are expanding the definition of spam to be people who annoy you.
A spam is an unsolicited, undesired message. Or it's spiced ham if you're in the grocery store.
Spiced ham is much better, by the way.
Yes, I would recommend the grocery store version along with Bill. So, Rachel, now that you've explained to Bill what spam is, then you understand you're within your rights and you're making the universe a better place if you just delete unwanted communications from people who you don't really want to hear from and who are not out there, who are trying to get something from you rather than to give something to you. Got it?
Yeah, and I do some of that. You know, this one guy would not stop texting me for 3 years, even though I never responded back to him once in 3 years. I get a text from him pretty much every day. So I finally figured out if I block him on my phone, he doesn't even know that I blocked him. So he's probably still just sending me text messages into this 4th year.
Well done. But
that
yes,
is very
Rachel, you have actually instructed our millions of listeners with a good hack, and that is, if you get an unwanted email or text message or phone call, actually I'm not so sure about the email. We can loop back to that. If you're getting phone calls or text messages from somebody who you do not want to be texting or calling you, just go in there, open up the account, and scroll down to the bottom and hit block this caller. And then you're done.
And it gets even better. This person used to always comment on my Facebook post within seconds after every Facebook post I did. But because they post so many outrageous things on Facebook, they finally got banned.
Excellent. But until they get banned, you can, Bill, you're the expert on this. Can't she unfriend and block people from her Facebook account?
Yeah, well, if you block them, it just automatically unfriends them. So,
yes.
You know, and I haven't really had to block a lot of people, but the few occasions where I did have somebody that, so it was somebody I knew but was demanding my attention, and I literally said, look, if you can't handle the fact that I'm online doing things, and you think I should be paying attention to you, I could just go ahead and block you so I don't put you through the pain of seeing that. And then they're just like, oh, okay. Oh, no, I'm good.
All right. Well, Bill, what a terrible thing to do to your mother. You're a bad, bad man. I've long suspected that.
I would never have to do it to my mother, but if my mother did that to me, I might.
Okay. Anyway, thank you for calling in, Rachel from Phoenix. We're here every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time, except for when we're here from 7 to 8 p.m. on Eastern Standard Time. You are more than welcome to call us with your tech conundrums every week, as often as you like, and we can play a merry game of Stump the Collier.
Thank you. Very guys good. I will try to block more people thanks to you.
Okay. Good.
Be heartless.
Be heartless. Be ruthless.
You actually gave her some good advice. What have you been drinking?
I have been drinking lots of German beer. So
bring it on.
So bring it on. Bring on. Stump the chump. That's what I say.
We don't refer to you as a chump on the air. We call you the Collier.
So, oh, which is a euphemism.
Yeah, stump the Collier at 518-697-7400 here at Wave Farm WGXC Tech Talk with Bill Collier and Ralph Benko, or 518-622-2598. So, Bill, what has been the tech news this week? What are the big stories?
Literally, I just mentioned to you today the Motorola One 5G costs less than $500, and it's so far the reviews are actually pretty good.
It looks like it's a pretty capable phone. I don't know how they made this whole thing for, you know, for less than $500, but it looks like it's it'll be quite adequate for most people, unless they're power users or something. So I guess that's one of the biggest pieces of news that we have right now. Right now, there's no the Apple SE is supposed to be the cheapest Apple, so. But who needs Apple when you have Android? I mean, that's what I always say.
Just because Apple is always better.
And for all of our TikTok friends and family, and everybody that loves TikTok, so TikTok sale could be announced on Tuesday. It could be announced tomorrow.
Cool.
Chinese web giant ByteDance is going to give up its control of TikTok. After all, there was back and forth, a lot of things going on. And I've said all along, look, there's no way they're going to just let this go away. There's too many users. People get too upset. But it looks like it's valued at $30 billion. That's a lot of pizza right there. But so it looks like, it's going to go through. But it's interesting. Walmart wants a piece of it. Alphabet wants a piece of it. Microsoft and Oracle. So who knows? Maybe they're all going to have a piece of it. And it's going to be like this Frankenstein thing.
Huh.
Never been on TikTok.
Okay. Well, we have another call.
We have Loretta from Red Hook.
Loretta from Red Hook. Bring it on.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Greetings, Loretta. I think what Loretta wants to know is why Bill
Hello.
Is so much different than Ralph. Hello, Loretta.
Hi, I just said, how are you?
Oh, I thought you were calling to ask why I was so much better looking than Ralph.
You got a face, for radio, Bill.
Y'all, I already know the answer to that question. But I have a question for you, and it's apropos that I'm asking it tonight because you're trashing Apple, and Ralph, you're trashing Android. But I have a friend, and her birthday's coming up, and her husband bought her a brand new iPhone, and I want to get her a present. So what's a present that's really special for an iPhone?
No, it depends on the person, but I have found iPhone users love there's all kinds of extra things that you can get with an iPhone, like cases and connectors. Like there's this case that you can get for iPhone, I'll have to look it up here, that has like a clip thing on it, and you just clip it to your belt or something. So it's in the case, it's nice and secure, but really nice accessories for iPhone. I do know iPhone users, and they seem to really love to accessorize their devices.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. Like, do you have an idea of a special device or something that's maybe a little more expensive that would be a treat for someone?
Well, I mean, there's so many things. Like you can get what's called a Moment Pro lens, what you put on the camera to actually make your camera higher quality on your phone. Do they take a lot of pictures? There is. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head some of those that I would see.
Bill, I think you should pull out all the stops. You can, if you go to Google and look around, you can actually get her, Loretta from Red Hook, a genuine gold-plated Donald Trump iPhone case. And you know, if you
hold on, let's be more serious, Manko. There's also AirPods, which are fabulous.
Oh.
because iPhone no longer has the jack. By the way, Samsung's newest phones are also going to lose the jack. So the jack is gone.
No, wait a second. What am I going to do with my lifetime supply earbuds that plug into the jack?
Put them in with your 8-track collection.
Oh,
well, wait, no, Bill, wait. Does that mean that they're wireless?
Yes, AirPods are wireless, and they're pretty awesome. They're like a Bluetooth thing. They're easy. I mean, if you hit Bluetooth, it's just, they'll know, though. But I mean, if you get AirPods are like $120 or something.
Wow. Wow. And you just connect it to your phone or your device, whatever device it is?
Yep.
Wow. Ralph, do you have these?
No, I do not have the Bluetooth versions. Actually, I just got a set of knockoffs that I haven't tried yet because I'm still used to plugging in. But I think Bill's onto something here with these EarPods. Bill, what are they called?
AirPods, Mister.
AirPods.
Air, as in like what's between your ears. Air.
Oh, yeah. If you can afford that kind of money, that would be a very lavish gift. The only thing that I worry about with the AirPods is if you lose one, they're small, so they're much easier to lose. And I suppose
they have a little thing that you put them in when you take them out. You put them in this little case thing. They slide right in. You just put that in your pocket. Most people that have them don't lose them.
Well, I'm not most people, Bill, and you know that. So, that would be an elegant. If you want a more functional rather than a fancy gift, Loretta, there's something that I would recommend strongly because I have one called an OtterBox, and an OtterBox is a special kind of rubberized case that means they're awful looking, but they're very functional. You can throw your iPhone across the room up against the wall, and the OtterBox will prevent them from shattering your screen.
I actually have an OtterBox for my Samsung phone. They're not ugly. They're fabulous. They're very awesome. And if you can search, depending on the iPhone that she has, just go to OtterBox. They got all kinds of models, elegant, really nice ones. Ralph probably just grabbed the first one he could see, and it probably looks like, you know, it came out of the 1950s. It was made out of steel or something.
1940s.
Normal people know how to buy. Yeah, that's why I was saying to you earlier. I noticed that iPhones have cooler cases, though, than most Androids for some reason. I don't know what's up with that. That's very marginalizing. But, cases are cool. Also, phone stands, Loretta, excuse me. So, Loretta, phone stands, there's something called a Moco phone stand, and it's like $8, but it's so handy. It slides and it's portable, and they can set their phone on it, well, sideways or upside, you know, hallways or lengthwise, and it's just handy. Like you're laying in bed, you just put it right there and you could sit and watch a movie on it. That's another kind of elegant, inexpensive gift. Portable batteries are also big. Basically, and they're usually like $25, $30, and it's basically a battery, an extra battery that you carry with you, and if your phone gets low and you know you're going to be out for all day. When I went to Germany, I had a portable battery thing because I was traveling all over the place, and I just plugged it into my phone every time it got low. So one of those is also a nice, elegant
This gift. Is really helpful, guys. Really helpful.
Well, thank you, and thank you for calling us. We always love to hear your voice, Loretta. And so
you remember me? Ralph, you remember me?
Yeah, of course. You're unforgettable.
I called before. I didn't think you'd remember me.
Oh, yeah. No, you're unforgettable, Loretta from Red Hook. By the way, is that Red Hook, Brooklyn, or Red Hook, Red Hook?
No, Red Hook, New York. We're our own thing.
Yeah. Well, city's a little grandiose for Red Hook.
Okay, but you're certainly your own neighborhood. We're not a neighborhood.
Okay. Anyway, welcome and call back next week with another great question.
Bye.
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 Hey to our listeners around the world and in the Mid-Hudson Valley. This is Tech Talk on WGXC Wave Farm, 518-697-7400, 518-622-2598. We are here. If you've got questions, we got answers. If you've got stupid questions, Bill's got stupid answers. So it could be a match.
I will call say up. This. I think Loretta is practically the perfect caller, practically.
If what do you mean practically?
Rich.
Well, I like that. I like the sound of "Make Us Rich," but I don't think she's
rich. Make this.
I don't think she's practically the perfect caller. I think she is the perfect caller.
Well, she has these preferences that are problematic.
Really?
Yeah, the Apple and the just the Apple in general.
Okay, but Bill, let me just clue you in. The Apple does not fall far from the tree.
I get it.
Okay. You're smart. Playing stump the callers getting harder and harder as every week goes by. Good. Yeah. Okay. We have another caller here.
Elizabeth from South Cairo.
Elizabeth from South Cairo. All right. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Good evening. At one point, I'm not a computer person, but I invested in the yoga book. Are you familiar with it?
Not so far.
It had no keyboard. It had the Halo keyboard. It didn't have a mechanical keyboard with little clacky bits.
Interesting. Bill, do you know what you're talking about? It kind of lit up.
So it's a Halo keyboard, like it's a hologram that you tap, or is it the thing? There is
you would tap on it and it would visually look like a QWERTY.
Yes, it would project this. It would project.
It would light up, but it had like a watch hinge. It was super thin. Kind of heavy, and I think it was done by I can't think of the name now. It was an offshoot of IBM or something.
It was Lenovo, right.
Lenovo, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, their yoga book. So they kind of disappeared, and I'm wondering what happened to them. The one I had was kind of glitchy. The screen kept going down. And as I say, I'm not a computer person, so I was a little, I know there's a learning curve, but I was a little lost with it. I ended up returning it, but it seemed to me afterward that it was possibly collectible because it seemed like an object that would be in the Museum of Modern Art collection. Simply very as, the aesthetic of it.
Very, very, very cool. I just flipped open my browser and went to Lenovo Yoga Book 10.1-inch FHD IPS Windows tablet with integrated Halo touch-type keyboard and create pad surface, carbon black. And I must say, I have tech lust. It is. It's a beautifully designed piece.
So they're still out there. Yeah, tech lust. I was like, immediately got a bone,
Well, it says here at this website, temporarily on back order.
So
I don't know if they're still making them. They're collector's items now. But what a cool piece of gear.
You've never seen it before. I'm glad I let you on to it.
Yeah.
My problem with it also, besides it being glitchy, was I couldn't download Word documents.
Well, that's a big setback. That's a big setback. Not being able to download Word documents would make a laptop useless to me. Bill.
Well, there are actually two versions, so they might be a version. The other version was like $50 more or something.
Yeah, there's a 2019 yoga book. So I think if you got an earlier version of it, it's probably, maybe that's why it was a little glitchy.
Hmm.
But they're still making them. There's one for 2019. I haven't seen the 2020, but I don't think they're not making the 2020. I just don't see one. So
it's an odd question, but
got an earlier model. They're not super powerful because they're sort of like E machines, you know. They're not really like high end. Like my tablet has 24 gigabytes of RAM.
I understand like gamers and people that are computer savvy that the guts of it. This had kind of like arty apps where you could paint and draw and take notes. Which is, I work on a really large scale, so I wasn't about. Not only that, when you sign the agreements, and what bothered me is I couldn't get into it unless I agreed to go through the Google, and that really kind of bothered me. And I don't know as if I had bought something else or even that if I could. If I could use it in some way, even my phone now, I never bought a smart type phone before. I'm talking on a flip phone. What did I use? I couldn't get it, as far as the apps?
Yes.
Or as far as the computer?
Well, what kind of phone did you use, Elizabeth?
Oh, no, I'm not talking about the phone now. I'm just talking about the fact that I can't get into any of these devices without going through an agreement to use Google.
Yeah, that's unfortunately, depending on the machine that you have, like I said, these e-machines are kind of like that. But what do you do on your computer, Elizabeth? What do you use it for the most part?
I was just going to, I usually do research. LexisNexis, go into legal research, things like that.
Okay, so you.
I don't game, and I don't Facebook. I don't do social media. I just do research.
Yeah, you just want to get. You probably just want to get a standard laptop computer. Of course, I'm going to pitch IBM related computers or PC, but you can go Apple or you can go PC. But what you're describing is...
Wait, Bill, just don't confuse her, because IBM is no longer a market leader on the PC.
I realize that. I'm still lost in the 90s.
I know. So, we'll get you back.
Not only that, I don't think I'd want to give IBM my money, because they're like weapons contracts.
Yeah, no, there's all kinds of, like Lenovo, the one also makes just regular, because Yoga Book is it's an Android based tablet, whereas what you need is just if you're just looking to do research and stuff, probably a Windows based tablet would be just fine for you.
Uh-huh.
What
is the Android more for like gaming or apps?
Yeah, you unless you're doing gaming, you just want to get a basic.
Okay, but Bill, that's you're very confusingly conflating two platforms. So let's uncollapse that distinction, so poor Elizabeth doesn't end up confused, because you've confused me, which is easy enough to do. Does she want a laptop or does she want a tablet? There are two different creatures.
Never mind what I want. What I really want, and that's my last question, is there anything out there that isn't super high dollar like you're talking about it sounds like you're talking about high dollar, like Apple, and even Apple, a computer that's actually made in the United States. I mean, they're talking about all these problems with China and other countries getting in and getting our information. Is there anything that's actually made in the States? Does the U.S. government actually use computers that are made in the United States?
Well, that's a good question.
Are they using things that are made in China? I know Israel does a lot of chips.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Just trust me.
I'm not going to worry about it, but I like to know.
I know. It's way complicated because you'd be surprised so much of what is supposedly made in China. It's just assembled in China from parts made in the United States. So if you actually opened up, everybody talks about how the iPhone is made in China. That's not true. It's the parts are assembled in China, but most of the chips and stuff like that are made right here in the United States. So look, the thing to do.
You mean made or designed? Is this like, is this what Silicon Valley actually does? I thought they were mostly into the development.
Well, there's most of the value, a lot of the value added in what's inside of a computer is computer chips. There's other stuff. There are motherboards and stuff like that. But most of the value added has to do with these silicon chips that are either that are made by American companies, whether they are manufactured in the United States or whether they export the manufacturing to some other country where it's where you can buy the device cheaper. If you just go to Google, and I want to talk about Google for 1 second before you ring off, and look up best cheap laptops, okay? They will lead you to really good online magazines, tech magazines, like ZDNet, that are full of geeks who essentially try all the different kinds, test them out, and then give you a list of the best cheap laptops for $350 or less. And then you can pick from that. But before you bridle and have been, quote, required to use Google, Google is so far the best search engine that even without those requirements, over 90%
of people use. Because the others haven't been able to put muscle on.
What's that?
They haven't been able to put muscle on. They don't have the market.
Who doesn't have the market?
Isn't the whole idea of the internet, like, especially like sub levels where people can code, where people can really know how to use a thing, that it's all about the interconnectedness of it, that the more interconnected it is, the more using a certain pathway, and then somebody can tap into that. They can tap into that, their usage of it.
Sure, but Apple has its own browser called Safari, and there's also Microsoft Edge, which has replaced Microsoft IE, which one of my geeks tells me is great because it doesn't keep track of where you've been browsing. So if you're privacy oriented, you can use Microsoft Edge.
Now, I figured since Bill Gates first developed this through the college program for the federal government, that there's always a backdoor in where they can see whatever we're doing. And I know there's freaking little cameras on those things because I keep getting things for like wrinkle cream, you know. I keep getting ads for things that are very, you know, obviously. And I heard somebody last week maybe talking about the same thing.
Okay, well,
I'm just saying that most of us feel like we're totally exposed out there, and the less we have to say about a thing, the better. Just get on with our lives.
Well, okay, just to comfort you a little tiny bit, you don't have to take my word for it. Being a Washington insider, which I am, I happen to be privy to inside information that the big tech the big digital companies are aware that people are getting very skittish about being looked at, and they are shifting away with new products that are designed to protect your privacy because they're terrified of you, Elizabeth. They're terrified of losing your love. And if that
that's BS. Because the 1% has gotten to a point, they don't need us anymore. They don't need our markets. They don't need our dollars. They just want it all. So as far as my being a customer or not being a customer, or they're catering to my needs, my whims, as if they're even listening at all. They're only listening to find our weaknesses. The 1% is going to want it all. They're going to want it clean, green, and I think this whole thing with the flu, with the virus right now, is going better than they expected it to. And well, they don't need a market economy anymore. They want their little duchies and their dukedoms and their earldoms, and that's how they waited so long. Why it took so long for the response to the flu, because people were trying to figure out how to monetize it.
Well,
I'm going to say thank you and good night, because this has turned
okay.
Otherwise.
Well, thank you for calling in.
And I'm.
Elizabeth, if you're still listening, I just want to add this. So basically, to go back to your original issue, so when it comes to, you had an Android app, or Android computer, that's why I was doing the Google thing, because it's going to connect that way. However, if you just go and you just get a regular tablet, PC, you can get them for like $300 online. You can go through like Amazon, just look for them. And that should serve your needs for just being able to do research, things like that, pretty adequately without too much of an issue. I use LexisNexis myself, so I know what that's like. So good luck.
Phil, you got it. You just proved the old adage that even a blind piglet sometimes finds a truffle. Good for you.
Thank you.
Yes. And Elizabeth, if you're still listening, I remember, you're probably not old enough, but I remember when IBM was the ruler, the big, unbeatable company.
Those were the days, baby.
Yeah, those were the days, right? And then Microsoft came and knocked them off, and Microsoft became the 800-pound gorilla in the ecosystem. And then Google came along and knocked off Microsoft, and now Tech Talk is here to overthrow them all. Right. So you may think that they're the indomitable. They remember very well when the previous rulers of the roost all got knocked off, by the way, after about 20 years. And they are all running scared because they know that their dominance is fragile and can be knocked off by, you know, two smart guys like me and one other smart guy. Unfortunately, I'm saddled with Bill, so we've only got one smart guy. On WGXC, Waveform GXC, who's coming for you, Google.
Yes, Google is going to love that. I'm sure that they're very nervous about all of those things. So, all right, so that's an interesting call.
Yes.
And it's what else is interesting about that, in light of the episodes that we've had so far, this issue of privacy keeps coming up. They just got rid of cookies. That's going away, which is that whole thing about how they're being able to see what you do and all that. Well, they're getting rid of it. And so advertisers now have to try to, you know, figure out what they're going to actually do about that. That is fascinating. But it keeps coming up, and I'm not so worried about privacy because I kind of live my life out in the public anyway. So I really, but I understand that I am the exception and not the rule. I figure anybody gets a hold of my information, they're going to, you know, they're going to like, oh my goodness, I inherited everything Bill has. I'm a dad.
No, they're going to be born into a state of complete stupefaction. So they don't call you stupefying Bill for nothing.
Great. So, all right, let's see here.
Oh, it sounds like we got another caller coming in.
Oh, this is too good.
What's that?
Apple accidentally approved malware disguised as Flash.
Oh, you know, I saw that.
All right, Michael from Portland, Maine.
Oh, Michael from Portland, Maine. Welcome to Tech Talk. I'm Ralph, and that's Bill. Unless that's Bill and I'm Ralph.
I always get that. I was too confused.
I thought it was Bill and Ted.
Yeah, our Bill and Ralph's Great Adventure.
So I have a question. So if you had Neuralink installed in you and you also installed it in your pet, could you use Neuralink to, like, communicate with your pet, like, to speak with them finally and understand what's going on in their head?
Not... Are you talking about Neuralink, the fictional Neuralink, or the actual Neuralink?
The actual Neuralink, because they just did the presentation, and they were talking about how they're testing it on animals. So animals are actually getting Neuralink first. So I was wondering, like, could it be used in animals to make them smarter and possibly communicate with humans? Because apparently a monkey had made controlled a computer with its brain.
You know, that's a good question, I wonder what my dog, his name is Sheckle.
His name is Bad Dog. Come on, don't lie.
His name was Sheckle, not Bad Dog.
Bad Dog.
You're a horrible person. Yeah. I think that Neuralink will allow the animal to control or manipulate things because it's a brain to computer or brain to mechanical device interface. It's not going to improve their intelligence. So if they can't speak now, they won't be able to speak through Neuralink. But my dog can let me know he has to go pee and this and that. So he could very well, through Neuralink, signal something on the computer instead of barking and let me know, you know, that he's hungry or that he prefers this bone over that bone or that he feels like biting the neighbor.
Wait,
that would be cool.
However, Mike from Portland, you're talking Elon Musk here. Okay, Elon Musk is a performance artist. And so he has a brilliant knack for capturing the headlines. Don't ever take anything Elon Musk says literally. It might be true. It might be poetic license. I'm not downgrading the guy. He is the Tony Stark of our era. So he's a, you know, brilliant genius, techno mogul, and his little teensy car company is worth more than all the big car companies put together. And he can do things like launch his car off into outer space, being driven by a robot. And he just has an amazing way of capturing your imagination. But I've dug down into Neuralink a little bit, and thank you for bringing it up. Neuralink has a long way to go, maybe decades before it becomes a viable technology where it can actually create a direct link between human brains and computers. I'm not saying it'll never happen. It's just, I don't expect to see it in my lifetime.
Well,
I hope that
Elon is a personal hero of mine. So that being said, it hasn't dissuaded me from putting a deposit down on the Cybertruck.
Nor should it.
Oh, you haven't put your deposit down for the Cybertruck yet?
I put it down in April.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I find the truck to be fascinating. It's so ugly. It's awesome.
And I'm a big fan of Elon Musk. And if Elon Musk says we're going to have Neuralink, by golly, we are.
I didn't say we weren't. I just said not in my lifetime.
Well, that's, you know, we can read that a couple different ways there, Mr. Benko.
Yes, you can read it all the different ways you want.
I mean, if your lifetime is only going to be 6 months from now, probably you're right. But if you live another 50 years, probably you're going to see it.
I think it's going to be somewhere in between.
It's possible, yes. But I think, though, if it does work as planned, no, your dog won't be able to say, you know, write a treatise on par with War and Peace. But your dog will probably be able to use devices to communicate with you according to its current repertoire of understanding, because dogs do have understand a number of words. So I would assume that a Neuralink would allow them to use those words.
Listen, let's give Elon the tribute that he's due. He is a master of the human imagination, and he's been able to leverage his mastery over the human imagination to make himself one of the top, I don't know, 100 richest people in the world. So good for him.
That's for sure. I think if it is able to make you communicate with your pets, unfortunately, that's going to be a lot more popular than it should be. I just hope it doesn't become like that episode of Rick and Morty where the dogs merge with computers and become more intelligent than the humans, because that could get
this is my fear. This is actually my fear. I was literally thinking about that episode, and I was also just imagining what my dog would do. Very frightening. You know, we don't call him Bad Dog for nothing. I mean, he's got his, you know, he's got his wit.
He has human trafficked you, Bill. You gotta feed him and walk him in. And yep. You are definitely his slave.
Yep, as it should be.
As it is. Anyway, thank you for calling in, Michael.
Thanks for that great answer.
In future Mondays.
All right, I'll tune in next week.
Thank you. That's great. We'll look forward to that. Okay, well, here we are at WJXC. We have 3 minutes left. That might be time for one more question. And we're still at 518-697-7400, 518-622-2598.
Very good. I'll close with, where is it at here? I just had this article. Apple accidental. No, it's me. Let's see if it comes up here.
Yeah, what a lot of people don't know, because we just take it for granted, Bill, is how hard it is to deliver these amazing devices to us that we just now take for granted. Your mobile phone has more computing power than the entire Apollo 11 space launch.
Right.
Oh, so, we have. So I just want to end it with this thing, call though. From Daria.
Hi, Daria.
In Dariaville. Hey, Daria. We have two minutes. One for you to ask a question, and one for Bill to answer it. Bring it on.
Okay, Bill. I know this sounds like a simple question, but it's also really complex. The internet is huge. How much did it cost to build it, and is it really worth anything?
Well, I do not know the exact cost to build the internet, and I don't know if we'll ever know because of how it was done kind of in secret at first.
It was $124,500,000.
Thank you. Thank you. See, this was back in your day, so it was before my time, of course.
Right. Yes.
But as far as what it's worth now, I mean, if you think about the economic transactions that the internet does, wow,
it's worth Apple alone is worth $2 trillion, and that's just a drop in the internet ocean. Thank you for a wonderful question, Daria. We would love to I'd love to insult Bill further about his ignorance, but you stumped the Collier. Congratulations. You're the first one who did that tonight. And we're running out of time, so I hope you'll call us again next Monday to ask another to play Stump the Collier one more time. So
I will try.
Good night, WGXC.